I'm excited that we're going to worship together, excited that we've got a team together. Let's pray, and I will get out of the way. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you for this building that you've given us when the weather is questionable, and we just pray that you would just be glorified today as we sing, as we look to your word, as we encourage one another, as we sharpen one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a seat. Thank you, guys. I appreciate everybody who serves on our team here. And I mean, our whole church is a team. It's a body where each part does its thing, from the people who are staffing our pantry, to people working in the nursery, to these musicians who share their talents and gifts with us, to people flipping burgers, to, you know, everything that we do. Children's, those of you who are leading our kids, and then we have people who are cleaning, and it's just an awesome thing. And I sit there and I listen to our music team at different times, and I'm just so blessed by it. I'm just blown away by it, that people would give their time to do that and lead us in worship. Let's pray together before we get started. Lord, I pray this morning that I would not get in the way of what you want to do. Lord, that you would speak to us, Father, that as we look to your word, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just make it come alive within us. God, I thank you so much that I get to be part of this team. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we asked the question, why Jesus? Why consider following Jesus? I mean, how is he different than any of the other great teachers that have been throughout our history? Why should we check into him? And I asked you the question, what's your life GPS? Remember, we talked about our GPS, and those of us who are totally dependent on our GPS on our phone, like me, I turn it on to get out of my driveway, and Robin makes fun of me, you know, I'm like, go to the church. She's like, you don't know where the church is? Well, I do, but what if there's a tree down? What if there's an obstacle I don't know about? I need to know this. And when you're driving along, it's like, obstacle on the road ahead. I get excited. I'm like, let's see. Let's see what it is. And Robin goes, there's not going to be. Oh, there it is. Somebody did that. And when I'm driving, I'm like, that's supposed to be your job. You're supposed to let people know, oh, obstacle on road. You know, somebody lost a sneaker. We all need to know about that. So your life GPS, what do you follow? What's your value system? What's your paradigm? And I challenge you to look into Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of CNN or Fox News, okay? Not the, I told you, don't judge Jesus based on the actions of his followers, but judge his followers based on the teachings of Jesus. And right now we're in a time in our society where I think we as a church universal, a lot of us are like, whew, we need to get back to scripture and go, does that look like Jesus? I asked you, if it quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, you know, flies like a duck, what is it? It's a duck, right? And I said we can do the same kind of test to be, does that look like Jesus? Does that sound like Jesus? Is that like his character and what he told us to be? No? All right. Smile and wave. Walk away, smile and wave, because that's not Jesus. And I challenge you to go right back to the book. Go to the book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 1 John. Read those. And if you need one, feel free to take one of the ones from these racks in front of you and start off in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But as I talked about what is our life GPS, I'm going to tell you a story. This past week, gorgeous day. I love it now that it's not a billion degrees and beautiful evenings, and it's been so nice. And so it was Wednesday night, which is food truck night in Westbrook. And at around 4 o'clock, I said to Robin, well, I'm gonna go for a ride on my bike. And I'm gonna pedal through the trails over here and just go through and maybe behind Smiling Hill Farm, and then I'll go down around and I'll meet you at the food truck park. She said, great, that sounds good. And we will pay far too much money for food made in trucks. But anyway, that's a thing now, and we're going for that trend. So I'm out there, and I've got my Strava connected. And for those of you who run, ride, do any type of exercise, Strava is an app that you can use to kind of measure where you're going, your track and speed and all those things, how many miles you've gone. So I've got mine hooked up, it's on my bike, and I'm pedaling away. And I get into the trails behind Smiling Hill Farm. And I start going through, and it becomes clear that I'm the only person to go on these trails in at least a month, because the trail became invisible. You're out there, and you're going, okay, there are no trees through this path, so maybe this is a trail, or maybe it's just trees didn't happen to grow here. And so I started following the trails based on where I would see a bridge, a wooden bridge made, because I'm like, nobody's just going to randomly go out in the woods and make bridges, right? That would be dumb. So I'm riding through. The goldenrod is making me have a tough time breathing. The little pucker brush is scratching my legs, and I'm like, going through, and I'm wondering about bees, you know, and all this. I'm just cutting through. The big thing I'm wondering about also is when you can't see the ground, you don't know if there's a hole or maybe there's a down tree. And so I'm thinking, I just hope there's nothing here, because I'm going maybe 10, 11 miles an hour through and going, if I hit a nice solid tree like that, I'm going over my handlebars. Any of you guys ever go over your handlebars? Isn't that fun? Yeah. I'm clipped into my pedals. I've got my, you know, kind of touring shoes, and so I can pull up. They're not the fancy pointed plastic shoes, you know, road bikers wear. And then I'm not wearing those tight pants. So get that out of your head. So I'm going through, and I'm clipped in, and I'm thinking, man, if I hit a tree or a hole or something, I'm going up over these handlebars. Which led me to the next thought. I wonder if Robin will answer her phone. How many of you, your wife has a phone only to reach you when she needs you? Doesn't work the other way around, you know? So I was wondering, okay, and those thoughts are coming through my mind. Well, I'm riding and I'm going, and I'm thinking, okay, now there's a sign that says deer run, and it points. I go, okay, great, I'll go that way. And I'm going through, and I come to an opening into this big field. It's huge, and it's like a big hill, too. And I'm like, okay, Smiling Hill Farm should be here. Well, shouldn't miss it. It's pretty significant. No sign of it. So I'm like, all right, I've got to find it. It's got to be up here. I know we're in this area. So I start biking this field, pedaling up this giant hill in grass that's up to here. Okay, I get to the top of the thing, and there are white pipes like septic tanks. You know? And I'm like, why are there 25 of these pipes up here? That would be a long sewer line, and who would need a leach field this big? And I'm just kind of riding along going, this doesn't make sense. I'm looking for a trail, looking for, if I get up to the top of this hill, I'll at least be able to see better, be able to see a road. I get to the top, and it's just me and all these white pipes. Like, oh man, so bizarre. And so I pull out Google Earth. Hey, Google, where the heck am I? And I look, and I'm like, if I can see the map from there and see where I am, and I can find the closest road to get out of here, because I'm lost in a giant leech field? This doesn't make sense. So I look, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's down that way. There's the road. I go down the hill, and I go over, and I come to this gate that's locked up tight as can be, no admittance. It goes into the woods, 100 feet that way, into the woods 100 feet that way. I'm looking at it. I can't lift my bike over this fence. I'm seeing the signs prohibited, rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, I'm on the naughty side. So I'm like, this is not good. How do I find Smiling Hill Farms? I download the All Trails app. Okay, All Trails will help me. And I start looking. And there's none of those little dotted lines anywhere around me. I'm like, I am way off. So I'm like, I will go back to where I started. I'll retrace my steps, and I'll go back. So I bike back up over this thing. I'm on top of it. And I realize, this looks like a landfill. What? These white pipes, it has to be a landfill. I don't know. Is there a landfill in Westbrook? I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. I never heard of one. And so I'm riding, and I finally get back to the place where I started, and I see at the end of where the hill comes down, there's that thick rubber tarping that they put on the bottom of landfills. And I follow my trail back out, and I was on a landfill. You know what those pipes are for, right? Methane, all those toxic gases coming out of there, and I'm going, just breathing them like crazy. And I'm thinking, I come back and I say to Robin, you just won't believe where I ended up today. I have no idea how I ended up in a landfill. Well, I finally made it over to the food trucks, got, my good dose of carbs that I overpaid for, and we had a good time. But I started thinking, man, what am I following out here? What am I following? Or am I just letting this happen to me? I felt like I'm Ponce de Leon. I'm in search of new territories. I'm Lewis and Clark. I have no idea where I am, no idea where I'm going, but my only reason I kept going was, I'm too far into it to turn back. Do you ever feel like that? You're too far into something to turn back. I watched a show this week about the psychology, human psychology, of how we will get that in, and rather than change our mind and change a bad decision, we'll press ahead with it to say, all right, I'm too far into this. I've got to make this work. And so we don't turn back. It was a show about gambling and the psychology of gambling and how people just keep going and losing more and more and more because they say, I can't turn back. This is my only solution, is to keep going forward. So it made me think of last week when we said, who should I follow? Am I just going through life, just seeing what happens? Do I have purpose and direction? Or am I just kind of going through this, asking, is this all there is? Today, I'd like us to do that next thing. Well, what's the next step? What's the deal with baptism? And why does it exist? All right, if you know what baptism is, churches have this thing. Some sprinkle, some pour, some dunk, right? You got dunkers, sprinklers, and pourers, all right? We're dunkers, okay? That's who we are. We're dunkers. If at all possible, we dunk. Okay, we're going to talk about a little bit about why we dunk. Well, why do we do this thing? It's kind of weird, isn't it? Come on, you're thinking, hey, what are you doing today? Well, I'm going with a group of people, and we're going to a pool. And then this bald guy, probably going to be wearing, you know, weird, ugly print Hawaiian bathing suit shorts. This guy's just gonna dunk me underneath and then pray for me. That's what I'm doing. Doesn't that sound weird? It does. Those of us who have grown up in church are like, no, that's not weird at all. But our friends outside of church are like, what? Why would you do that? Now let's talk for a minute about where it came from. Remember the story of John the Baptist, the guy who ate locusts and honey? And the only real guy in the Bible who's basically pointed out for being weird, all right? He's weird. He's like, we're going to make a point of telling you that he wears, you know, camel hair. We're going to tell you that he's a strange character, okay? We know this. John the Baptist was going through and he's baptizing people in the name of somebody who's going to come. Now, you might think of that and say, well, who's the first one to do it and how did he talk them into it? Well, here's the thing. If you look at water throughout Scripture and in the Hebrew faith, water as a purifier is huge. They have these large pools, tubs, in every temple. They're called a mikveh bath. And you have times that you must go into the mikveh to be cleansed. The mikveh has to be filled with water from a natural source. I'm not sure how that works or if they've gotten certain allowances now, because there aren't a whole bunch of spring-fed areas in New York City and places like that. Maybe they have it trucked in. I don't know. I didn't research that much. I didn't go through that rabbit trail. But the mikveh was something they went in to purify themselves. Women would purify themselves before marriage. They would purify, men would purify themselves before going into the temple, or go to the temple, the first step being in the mikveh bath. The other thing that water in the Hebrew church, remember, because Jesus came and he was mostly with Jews initially. He was a Jew, and he's there, and they're one of the things they do is hand washing, ritual hand washing. The first thing you wake up in the morning, the Orthodox Jews have a bowl of water next to their bed. The first thing they do is wash their hands twice, starting left hand and then right hand, and then again while reciting a prayer, okay? Then you go through when you visit Israel and you go to Jerusalem and you see hand washing stations all over the place. So I bring up those points. If you want to look into it more, you can, you know, just search, you know, water in the Bible. You'll get everything from the stories of God delivering through the Red Sea. You get water from the rock. Jesus saying, I will give you living water. A lot of illustrations about water. But I wanted to point out that for the Hebrew faith, they were very used to being immersed in water for purification. So when John the Baptist said, I am baptizing you, putting you, baptismo actually means to immerse, I am putting you under water for the repentance of sin in the name of somebody who's coming after me, it wasn't a far stretch for the Hebrew people who were coming. They were used to water being a symbol in their faith, okay? Because I always wondered, did this guy just invent this? What happened? And who was the first person to go along with this? Kind of nutty. You know what I mean? So I wanted to put that there to you. I wanted to look at the first thing. Why be baptized? Why be baptized? The first reason is simple. Jesus told us to. Jesus told us to. Now, last summer, I got baptized. And some of you guys were like, what? Our pastor's getting baptized? Well, I came to the realization that when I was baptized at 13 years old, I did it in obedience to my mother. Because my mother said, at 13, you get baptized. I didn't make that decision. That wasn't me coming to that decision. So I'm going through and I'm talking to people and they're saying, I want to be baptized because I was baptized as a child, but I don't remember it and I don't think it really meant anything to me. And I baptized a bunch of people that way. And some reason last year I went, wait a minute, me too. That's what happened to me. And so I went through baptism just to say, okay, I'm doing this in obedience to Christ. Obviously, it didn't save me. I've been already saved. I've been preaching and I've been, you know, bringing people to Christ. I've been involved in all that. So it was just an act of obedience for me. It's an act of obedience that signifies our commitment to Christ. See what he says. Therefore, go and make followers, go and make disciples. It's pouring out. Yeah. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You're not talking about do it for numbers, do it to make a big thing, do it so you have the biggest church, do it so. He's saying, go and make followers of me. Why? Why would we want to be followers of Christ? New life, salvation, direction, purpose. We're not just riding our bikes out on a landfill, unless Jesus sends us there, right? We're being sent. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. People who say, Jesus never talked about Trinity. This is one of the verses that goes toward that. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. Be absolutely positive of this. Don't have a doubt about this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Is the end of the age a really good time, from what you know? No. No. According to this book we read, it ain't going to get better, right? It's going to get harder, harder and harder. And Jesus says, I will be with you, and I want you to remember this. All right? So Jesus told us to do it. Now, the second thing, Romans 6:3-4, it's public and visible. Romans 6:3-4, or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. See, that the symbolism in that water when we baptize is we're being baptized with Christ as though into burial. And then when Jesus rose, he rose without our sin. It had been taken care of, paid for, gone. Okay? So that when we do it, we go into the water identifying with Christ in baptism. We're identifying with Christ dying in the resurrection. Then the resurrection is when I bring you up out of the water. If I don't bring you up out of the water, what happens? What's a bad deal? Right? Some people have Jesus stuck in the grave. Some people have Jesus stuck on the cross. It always breaks my heart when I see that. I I want to get him off of there. He's not there anymore. That's an instrument of torture. I always wonder when Jesus comes back and he's like, you guys, I want to talk to you about that jewelry thing. You know, but I'm like, how do we do it otherwise? For us, the cross, the empty cross is a symbol of victory, right? The symbol of new life. See, why do something public that's so personal? Well, let me ask you this. Why are weddings public? Why? Why do you invite people to your wedding? Wait, you guys just got married. You're the newest newlyweds here. Why did you invite all these people? Celebrate? Biff says gifts, but they were like But they were like, no gifts. We came in with our card and went, no. They said, no gifts. Instead, give to the church, give to the pantry, give to this if you want to give a gift. So you invited people to celebrate what? Yeah, your love for one another, your commitment to one another. So you share that time with others to come in and say, we're making this commitment to one another in front of everybody because we want you guys to hear our vows. We want you guys to know how much we love each other. We want you guys to be part of this, okay? Baptism. I look at it similarly. Why do we do it in public? Well, it's saying, I'm going all in with Jesus. I want you guys all to know it. Obviously, last year when I got baptized, I was already all in. I mean, I couldn't really figure out how to get more all in. I was already all in, so for me, it was just a matter of obedience, going, hey, I did this for my mom. I didn't do it out of obedience for Christ. So when it's public, it kind of ups the ante. So baptism is like it's a powerful like example, testimony to those that we have died to our old life and we've been risen anew. Does it mean we're perfect? No. Does baptism actually wash away those sins? No. It's a command. It's an ordinance that Christ gave us, okay? And then the third thing. So we look and we know that Jesus told us to do it. It's public and visible. And then it reminds us what Jesus did for us. It reminds us what Christ did. When we have our communion table together, do this in remembrance of me. That's another one that we do that Jesus said, do this. Do this because you're remembering what I did. What I did in Acts 22:15-16. He's talking to Paul after Paul's conversion experience. And Ananias tells Paul, this has happened basically. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. And then he says this. I love the way the New Life Translation says, New Living Translation. What? He said, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. What is it in this passage that washes away your sins? Calling on the name of the Lord. The baptism of doing it is saying, I am identifying with this so much that I'm going like into the grave and up to new life. I'm identifying with Christ who took my sin and threw my sin as far as from the east as from the west. That's what I'm doing. So baptism represents the cleansing power when Jesus makes us spotless, white as snow, without blemish, and gives us that new identity in him. And then lastly, it's a family matter. It's a family matter. What? It's us joining together. I love in 1 Corinthians 12:13, this verse on the screen. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. That's like Paul saying, some of us are teachers. Some of us are stay-at-home dads. Some of us are retired. Some of us are this. He's saying, we are a hodgepodge where you're all welcome. And you're all part of the body because we're all in the same Spirit. We follow Christ, right? And baptism is one of those ways that Scripture identifies it. Now, Sunday, September 8th, in the park, we're going, not in the park, because there's no water there. After meeting in the park, we could do the river. It's not deep. And everybody who's grown up in Westbrook is still scared to death of what that river was. Even though it's now certifiably clean and water recreation, people who have lived around here go, nope, never going in that. I get it. I grew up in Auburn, the Androscoggin River. When Josh and I were there, those falls were brown. Foamy brown, yeah. It was one of the top 10. So I totally understand why we don't baptize in the river, because some of us would be like, I'm not going in there. Listen. But we're going to have, after we meet together in the park, we're going to have a cookout together and a party. A party. Because like a wedding, when Heidi and Tom got married, we had a party. It was 4 billion degrees. And we had a party right in that room celebrating this, what has just happened. So yes, we have this old tank in here that we can fill up, and we have filled up, and I always expect to end up down in the basement. Because those Scottish immigrants, 136 years ago, put that in there, in a big old cement tank. But we could do it in here. But I said, you know what? I really love, if at all possible, we do this outside where neighbors can see, where you can invite friends and family and say, we're having a pool party and I'm going to do something weird, but I'll explain it to you. And then they get it. I've been on my Twitter, my X feed, formerly known as Twitter, which forever, on that feed, every now and then there's somebody who's like, I got baptized today. It's that public thing. So we're going to do that with a rain date of September 15th. And so people might ask, how do we do it? Because it gets nerve. You have nerves about what actually happens. What actually happens? There are no kids in here. I was going to get Daniel or David. Ruby, you're the youngest. Come here, girl. Come here. All right. So, using Ruby as my example. All right. Man, those are tall shoes. I feel like I just shrunk. All right. So, how do we do it? What goes on when this happens? I'm interested, but I'm kind of freaked out and scared, right? We all have these emotions, right? And so when we baptize, for somebody who's physically able to get into the pool, we go into the pool, and for some people, I'll ask them to explain why they want to be baptized. Other people say, oh, no, I don't want any part of that. So I'll just ask them questions and say, is it your desire to be baptized today following Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Yes. Okay, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So then you say, what do you do? Because I had nightmares about it. Because in the church I grew up in, the guy would hold a handkerchief. That I always wondered if he'd blown his nose on it. He'd hold a handkerchief, put his arm like this, and then he'd go, wah! And he'd throw me backwards, or the people backwards like this, and then bring them up, okay? If that freaks you out and you don't like that idea, okay? The other way I'll do it is I'll say, okay, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And you just bend your knees down and go under the water. And then I grab you by the elbow and I bring you up. And then we go, yeah. And then we pray together, okay? All right? And that's how we do it, okay? Now, thanks, Rube. You're awesome. What do I wear? We just wear our bathing suits. I wear a shirt, so don't be scared. Okay, I wear a shirt and my swim trunks. And so it's no big deal. Don't worry about it, because we have a pool party right after and have a celebration. What if I'm not physically able to go in a pool and go under? Now, back in the year 3054-ish to 430-ish, St. Augustine of Hippo said something that I love. And it was later brought forward by John Wesley, so you've probably heard him. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Now, there are some who get very legalistic and say, baptism has to be by dunking. I once baptized somebody and they wanted to go backwards, so they were hanging on to my wrist like this with their hands, and I baptized them like this, and they came back up, and I had this person after church say, their hands didn't go underwater, you know. They weren't fully immersed. I was like, come on now. I was like, I don't know in their mind if they thought all the sin, and they thought something was happening, and all the sin suddenly rushed to right here. I was like, no, it's the heart of this person. So we've had people that haven't been able to go in a pool. And I baptized them by pouring and saying, it's the heart that wants to be baptized. It's the heart that wants to identify with what Christ called us to do. So we don't get hung up in that. Our music team's gonna come up and close us. But I want you to know that I hope if there's anything else that you're kind of scared of, or you're used to having to take 12 classes, this was our, you know, summer course. This was condensed into one. It's fully worth 3 credits. You've got everything you need. You know why we do baptism. We don't do 12 classes to be baptized. John the Baptist didn't. We didn't see any of the apostles do it. All we say is, do you want to follow Christ? Do you want to do what he said to do? So just text me, call me. That's my number up there. And we'd love to add you to the list. We've got 2 of us so far. Start planning your potato salad or whatever it is you're gonna bring for our party after, because it's a celebration. And we love to do baptisms. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that Jesus walked out for us. Father, I pray that it's easy to get confused now looking at all that's going on in our society, some by your followers, some by news media outlets, Lord, might we go back to your word and look at Jesus as he's presented in Scripture. Lord, we say here that we try to follow the real Jesus of the Bible. So God, I pray that you would just this week speak to us, Lord, and those of us who it's time to be baptized, Lord, that you nudge us, and Lord, we will celebrate together. Give us a good week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.